Hello, my internet friends, and welcome to episode 39 of Radio Radar. My name is Tom Agrino. Hollander Cooper is out on vacation. Is it vacation? I don't know. He's somewhere. He's not here. But the show must go on. Ryan Talzinek, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You just slighted Henry by introducing.
No.
Him
what?
It's fine.
I went to the man to my left.
Well,
it's a circle.
That's cool.
Why would I start diagonally? That would be weird.
I mean,
Henry Gilbert.
Hey.
Gilbert.
I'm not going to complain.
Are you slighted right now? I mean, there was a turning, and then there was a seeing of Ryan Talzinek, and I'm like, hey, there's something right in front of my face.
I mean, I have really nice hair today.
You're the host.
Don't kid yourself.
Lucas Sullivan.
Hello,
how are you doing?
Everybody.
Rounding out our little
great.
Quartet.
Yes.
A quartet here. So this has been an interesting week in that we have mostly been man down with Coop and Sophia down at Judges Week, seeing all of the hottest new games to come out in the year 2013.
They know so many secrets.
They saw some good stuff. I mean, there was that one game that had all that stuff with it.
Our heads are brimming with all the games that you'll never know about.
Until
a couple weeks.
We're going to suppress that information as long as we
possibly
can.
They made the game just for Judges Week, and then they said, okay, we're done.
Yeah, delete.
They see how people react to it, and they're like, oh my good God.
That was a good test.
Oh good God. We cannot have this. This will not stand. But, you know, it'll probably happen. We should get to the top seven. This week's top seven is... What is it? I don't even know.
It's the last timely one.
It's the last we could possibly do
to
still be relevant in advance of the Xbox.
Let's hype up May 21st Xbox announcement.
Yeah. Oh yeah, let's first real quick share our plans for that day because they're big. I think there's some streaming involved. That's about all I know.
Streaming involved.
There's some live tweeting. Some
live
articles.
I'll be
by the minute.
I'll be mostly pieced out.
Oh yeah, you'll be gone.
You a-hole.
I will be fucking hanging out in SFO International Airport
Kicking
terminal,
back.
Being like, maybe I'll get another beer.
Beer.
Maybe I'll buy one of those $8 beers from the airport.
It's 10 a.m. in the morning. Perhaps I'll have another beer.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's what you do in airports.
How long is your flight?
I have no idea.
It's the only place you can drink that early where people won't judge you.
It's true.
Because
it's
they're like, for all I know, that guy's been up for 72 hours, you know?
It's a solidarity thing, too.
Yeah.
You don't judge people in the airport because everybody's having a shitty time. Everybody is just like...
Assholes that go into the bathrooms and take their shirts off and start washing their upper bodies. I'm like, that's really weird.
I've never seen that.
I've seen people brushing their teeth, but I've never seen.
I saw somebody just wiping down their upper body.
I mean, every time I think of deviant airport behavior, I always think of that senator or congressman who was
the foot tapping,
the tapping out on the stalls, trying to get some something.
What?
Did you guys know this story.
No?
Well, yeah, it's
Who was it? Minnesota, North Dakota, super super conservative guy.
Yeah, it was a conservative congressman who. Apparently, the code in bathrooms, if you want to have anonymous gay sex, is to you put your foot slightly into the other person's stall, and you tap your foot.
Just a little bit. And then just get a little tap-tap.
And then they tap back on your foot, and you're like, all right, let's get to business.
Let's go find a place.
Whose stall is the host?
Now I finally know what that means.
Yeah.
Why, that's been happening to you
all the time. I just can't take a shit without you. Let's not get into this again.
No.
Yeah, please.
Well, then the guy's defense was like, I just have a wide stance in the bathroom. Yeah, yeah. They read this wrong.
I mean, people, there must be all right, we cannot have a second podcast of all, because I have something
gotta
to
stay
say
on
right
top.
Now.
We're short on top seven
outstanding questions about the next Xbox. Lucas Sullivan, you wrote this week's top seven.
I did.
What's your number seven? What's your seventh?
So the seventh
most outstanding.
Most outstanding question.
What's it called?
I don't know.
No one knows.
That's a good question.
Right. So, what are some contenders
right now? The front runner, the one we went with for the time being, Xbox Infinity.
And why would we go with
it's
that?
It's got a nice ring to it.
So Microsoft registered a domain name for that, and there's a lot of buzz around this name. Besides that. There's really no good reason to pick Infinity. It could be anything. We saw mock-ups from Reddit, which everyone and their mother thought were real until the guy came out and said, I just faked this.
Guys, I literally made this in 10 minutes.
Everybody can make this. Well, we know they're not going to... 720 is a good shorthand for us to talk about it, but there's no way they're going to call it the 720.
And 360 sounded cool and exotic. 720 sounds stupid as fuck.
That sounds like repeating... Yeah. like the.
I mean, they've never called it a 720. They always call it Next Xbox. Yeah. Next Xbox, not the Next Xbox, just Next Xbox, mm-hmm. capital N.
What if they call it that? Wouldn't that be?
I mean, that would be ridiculous.
Or that Next Box.
That's what I was saying.
No, that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, the number Infinity also goes to their whole numbering plan, sort of like they did with the 360, where they didn't want to be Xbox 2 versus PS3. That would look weird. So they went with like, oh, it's a 360. It's three. That's so many numbers higher than a three.
Right. We've got a whole 6-0 tacked on the end.
Now this time they're even going farther where they're like, this is infinite numbers.
It transcends numbers.
It occupies more space of the universe. Mm-hmm.
So do you guys think if it is the Xbox Infinity that people just call it Infinity just like they call the Xbox 360, 360?
This is why I think that it's not Infinity. Because if somebody says, oh, I'm going to go get an Infinity, you're like, wow, you're going to drop $40,000 on a car right now? That seems a little brash.
Mm. Well, in relation to the cars, Durango is definitely not what it's going to be called. That's the code name. Not the real name, just
so,
like Dolphin.
Fun fact, when I was 16 years old, I so wanted a fucking Durango, a Dodge Durango.
Why?
I don't know. They looked so hardcore.
Well, I mean...
And there was like this animalistic element to them.
A raw, real.
I want to just take it and tame it.
Console... so console codenames, those never become the names,
never.
Ever.
I mean, we've had like Dolphin, we've had...
Orbis.
There's so many. We actually... Look it up. Console code names, a classic Games Radar feature.
Oh, nice.
Classic GR.
Really you can find that on GamesRadar.com.
Yep. Like for the example, the GBA was called the Atlantis.
Ooh,
my God.
Exotic.
I never knew.
And then they went with Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Why is it that their code names are so much better than their real names?
Well, they don't have the balls to go with the good name.
They really don't have just the testicular fortitude to make that happen. We could go with Atlantis, and that would grab attention, but it might grab
Game
too
Boy
much attention.
Atlantis? That sounds like a waterproof version.
Oh, just simply Atlantis.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, the names that they went with, it was very clear what it was.
But the DS was so popular, it killed the Game Boy brand. Like,
yeah. It really did. It really did.
Oh, yeah, boy. All right, number six on this list. What happens to our achievements?
What happens?
Like, people at this table have put great effort into getting their gamer score to a respectable level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I used to have a respectable gamer score.
And you lost it all.
I lost it in the divorce.
And then you got married.
I literally lost my achievements in the divorce.
It's part of the nuptial, the prenup.
The lawyer was like, all right, Tom, we're not going to take everything you own, but your fucking achievements are coming with us.
That was the only thing of value I had at that point. Everything else was a
debt.
But if Microsoft were to wipe the slate clean, that'd be a real
middle finger. I have a hard time imagining that they could do... I mean... Man,
but
so many people would get
right
pissed.
Yeah.
But then again, like if they don't, you're gonna start reaching gamer scores that are like hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and then into the millions.
And, like, no one will have a chance to, you know, have a clean start. It's just
Imagine they're trying to sell it to new people. They're like, how can they say, hey, get in this? You can get achievements. I mean, you're 70,000 behind everybody.
So I wonder if. And here's maybe a potential way they can get around this is if they're going to wipe the slate clean, one thing they could potentially do is look at your current gamer score and maybe award you a really cool, unique banner or badge or something
for your
profile.
It'll be an avatar outfit. It's like, hey, good work on 100,000.
I mean,
if it's for vanity, people will eat that up.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they, I think, reward or at least acknowledge the effort that people put into this, I think they could potentially wipe the slate as long as they're willing to provide
Need to turn it into a currency system where it's like you can spend 10,000 achievement points on a shirt or something like that.
Yeah, you know what'll get me playing a lot more Xbox games?
Yep.
Being able to spend my gamer score on stuff.
As if they were IP.
And they make more money
in League
that
of Legends.
Way.
Yeah.
As well. Oh, God.
There we go.
This opens a question that wasn't one of your outstanding questions. Like, is it backwards compatible? Like,
that's true.
So the current rumor is that they're going to follow the PS2 route with the Emotion Engine and kind of throw it onto the board of the Infinity or 720 or whatever. Just the 360's processor. They're going to put it in, so it's like, oh.
That'd be generous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a disappointment in the PS3 one for them to say, like, look, guys, this can't. We had to dump the cell processor. It was a mistake.
I mean,
so
backwards compatibility is such a hot topic issue, and I don't understand why. Like,
it's because the PS2 was one of the best systems, and it was two systems in one.
No, that's not it at all.
For the first 18 months, I bet, of the 720's life, I'm still going to be playing some 360 games. I don't want to have, I mean, it's not it's a stupid first world problem, but I don't want to have two plugged into my thing. I want to put one away and be done with it.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, it's really nice to be able to just be able to play everything on one system. And plus, there are plenty of people, myself included, that just have a huge library of games at home now. And sometimes I dip back into
that. Do you occasionally dip back?
I do.
I have never dipped back. Not
no,
even
I do.
Once.
I have a section of games that are still shrink-wrapped that I just haven't played yet.
I mean,
and
games
I would
are like
to.
Games are like books. Like, if I read it once, I'm not going to go back to it. I read it. I played
it. Depends. Depends. Some of them I'll keep going back to.
It's not like a song. I'm not going to go back to Moonlight Sonata and be like, never going to listen to that again.
Yeah, but what about, like, Otogi? What about that?
What about it?
That's on your desk, Tom.
I know.
What if you could play that right now?
I brought it in because it was shit lying around my office, my house, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Oh, I know. I'll dump it at the office.
To the free shelf it goes.
Yeah. No, totally. Mm. Yeah, I feel like the backwards compatibility thing is just something that was talked about on the comment section of the forums, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And people don't actually...
I think people like caring about it as much as, like, not practical use, but, yeah.
I mean, you don't really hear PS3 people now being like, motherfucker, I still can't play my PS2 games.
Well, yeah. It's something like, if you know you can't have it, then you just...
Yeah.
Or at least after a year, it certainly doesn't matter at all. Because, I mean, I feel like there is something to that idea of there is going to be no real library to speak of when the PS4 and the next Xbox come out. And so it will be nice to have, you know, PS3 games that you can play on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And plugging two systems in at once is bullshit. That is bullshit.
Question the fifth. Yeah. What does the controller look like?
I'm really curious to see. I hope they don't, like you mentioned in the article... Hopefully they don't mess with it too much, because I love the 360
it's
controller.
It's good where it's at.
It's been the best controller of the generation, I'd say.
I don't feel like screen in the middle that I, you know, flick with my thumb would really add anything.
I can't think of a... I mean, there people complain about the D-pad on
the
360
D-pad
controller.
The new D-pad, the new, like, on the Halo 4 controller, it's really good.
Yeah, they
fixed
it.
It feels amazing.
They just had to, like, tweak it a little bit, and I feel like... That complaint aside, that complaint which has been rectified, I don't have a single problem. Like, it feels perfect in my hands, and I got goofy hands, so...
Yeah, you do.
Like, to have something feel so good... Look at these hands!
What makes a
hold
hand
up your
goofy?
Hands! Look at that.
Mine are all fucking mangled because of my arthritis.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Yeah. I got real man hands.
I can't even straighten my fingers.
That man hand.
Look at my fingers. I can't even straighten them.
Yeah.
This is making me sad.
Yeah. I don't understand. I see no difference between your hands.
What? See my fingers? They're bent. All weird.
Hell yeah, I see that now. Yeah.
Thanks, Henry.
You wanted me to...
But yeah, I think the touchscreen, so Wii U has a touchscreen. Ouya. And PS4 will have touchscreens. I don't think they need to follow the pack. I think they can just stick to their
I mean, they're notorious
guns.
For following the pack, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole Kinect thing was a following of a pack.
That's why I think they're not going to change the controller that much, because the controller for them will be an afterthought. I think they're going to go, they have to have a controller to play real games. Mm-hmm. But they're going to say, everything's got to connect inside it. The Kinect's where it connects 2.0,
right.
Where it's at.
I think that...
You truly are the controller this time.
Yeah, that's...
Xbox Infinity.
That surpasses their need to shove a touchscreen onto the controller, because you can just fucking wave your hand in front of the thing. And
I mean,
there you
go. They've been talking about that whole Minority Report interface for years at this point.
Yeah.
And that sounds like... I mean,
I'm ready for
so
it.
Over it.
I'm ready for
I'm
it.
I'm so over it.
Maybe the Kinect 2 will have the, you know, tracking fidelity necessary to make it.
Fun fact.
Even if it did.
Fun fact.
What would you do with that?
The government has that system.
Really?
I read it in a tech article.
Wow.
They fucking Minority Report all day long.
They're Minority Reporting right now. There's somebody in this
they're
world.
They're just swiping holograms and shit.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Can I see it?
I don't know.
Where did you see this
tech? It was a long time ago.
Oh,
you
man.
You saw this on The Onion.
I read it on the internet.
Was Tom Cruise in that?
Onion.com.
I don't want the camera watching me all the time. I don't want to buy that thing.
We had that article go up a couple weeks ago that was the in-game or the
future
gaming,
of advertising.
Yeah, future of advertising one. And that shit is crazy. Like, they're going to be like scanning your living room, seeing if you're eating a Snickers bar, and then just bombard. I mean, it's kind of like typing into Google right now, like birds and bird seed and all that shit. And then all the things that you see for advertisements are birds. I don't want that. That's creepy.
Yeah, my favorite one is, like, if you're watching a McDonald's commercial and you say, like, Big Mac, it will skip the commercial for you. Yeah. So it's like, that's like the future of a click-through for
that's like,
banner ad.
That is actual brainwashing.
Yeah.
Well, that is the definition of brainwashing. God,
I saw that recently with a video pre-roll where, like, well, you could watch this commercial for deodorant, or you could put in Power Stripe or something. I forget what the phrase was, so obviously it didn't work. But it's right. Like, type in this phrase and you can skip it right now or watch the whole thing. Like, it's gross.
Although, I will say, the one pre-roll that I did watch recently was that one for that new Seth. Is it Seth Rogen? And
The End of the World? Or
yeah,
but that was a movie trailer.
Yeah, like, no, but what they did was, like, in that first 5 seconds that you have to watch, they were just pleading, like, fourth wall breaking, do not skip. I will put anything up to the camera. Just do not skip. And I'm like, all right, I'll see what you got here. Like, they needed to break, and it was actually a pretty funny trailer, and I'll probably go see that movie now.
you've been warped.
Right.
Question number 4. How will it facilitate the free-to-play model? Now, some people, they don't give a rat's arse about this question, but I feel like free-to-play games, that's where video games are going.
And I'm really...
Partially.
I mean, we've seen it in this office.
Yeah.
Ryan Talchenik, Tom Magrino, addicts to League of Legends.
Oh. I am unhelpable at this point. I cannot. I can't fucking stop thinking about that game. I can't stop playing it.
The
and
thought
my girlfriend,
of you sitting there yesterday just being like,
I didn't play for 2 days and I was like shaking, sweating really bad.
So I definitely feel like there is going to be a half of the game industry that goes free to play.
Well,
and I feel like there is going to be a half of the industry that stays with the sort of the normal.
Yeah, I mean, reduce.
Model.
There's
like,
room for both.
Reduce costs for people.
But
playing your
game and the other thing
good.
That I'm finding interesting about free to play is I find it mildly unethical. It's like you're doing something morally unethical by giving such a good product away for free. And you're just
not really because
who's getting screwed over?
Yeah, not nobody
the
is.
The human. Look at Ryan Talchenik. Look at the last month of his life.
That's not. That has nothing to do with the fact that that game is free.
Some doors shouldn't be open just because you can do something doesn't mean
but
you should.
It's a Pandora's box, right?
I do want to say, like, you know, look at games like League or PlanetSide 2.
Yeah.
All these really amazing looking and very fun and addicting games that are totally 100% free. And now the fact that that is not just going to be like a PC thing anymore, it'll be also on the consoles. And man, that's got me really excited because
no,
5 years from now, we're going to be playing free games that look like AAA games that we play right now.
I mean, it does.
We already
have,
do.
It does have the possibility to just dramatically change the landscape because it's like if people are just going to be playing PlanetSide 2 because it's free, they're not going to be as interested in spending $60 on a really good, well-crafted shooter that isn't free. Like the next Call of Duty, if a Call of Duty comes out that's not
free, they're
actually
making a free-to-play Call of Duty for China, I believe.
Well, that's only because, like, well, we want to. How do we sell this in China? Well, it has to be free to play.
Well, and it's,
otherwise, it will just be pirated.
But I guess what I'm saying is, it's going to get people not buying other like actual premium. I mean, it's gonna do free to play is going to do for the traditional box model what it's already doing for the subscription model. Like, World of Warcraft is dying right now because of games like League of Legends
and everything else. Like, it was so big that it's just bleeding very slowly. While you can't even launch a pay subscription.
No, look at the Secret World. Look at Rift is now going free to play.
Old Republic.
But all these people that launched and were hemorrhaging users and losing tons of money as soon as they went free to play, suddenly they're making bank because people are dumping tons and tons of dollars into this is only a dollar or two. I can buy that.
Yeah,
that's no big deal.
I think it adds up. If it's an online game at this point, if online game of any type, it has to be free to play.
Yeah, and it's
it's
not only making these companies money, but it's also breathing new life into these franchises that were dying.
Yeah,
like,
bigger
now the community's
is
huge.
A better game.
I just don't think it doesn't work for every genre. That's my
agree.
Problem. It
RPGs,
does work great for some.
Not going to work.
No.
It'll work for shooters.
But not like not single player.
Yeah.
It all has to have a major multiplayer component to
Pretty much any single player.
And it almost has to have some kind of RPG element too.
Oh, definitely.
I think.
Leveling up.
Yeah.
It's all got to have somewhere to put the carrot in front of your face.
Yeah,
drag
exactly.
you around, you slave.
Yeah, totally. How much will this damn thing cost?
Number 3.
I think we hit the hammer on the nail on the head here.
the hammer
I think we hit the hammer against the wall here. No, I think think we're certainly going to see two SKUs, the premium one that's got all everything, and then the super subsidized one where you're locked into 2 years of Xbox Live at $50 a month or
I'm
whatever.
Doing it really scary. I'm doing it anyway. I've been doing it for the past 6, 7, 8 years.
Well,
at this
it's
point.
Whatever that extra payment is. It may not be Xbox Live. That would be jacked up.
However it's going to work, you will end up paying like probably if the one with no plan is $500, I will bet you end up paying like $700.
Yeah, it's gonna be more. That's exactly how it works for the $99 Xbox, right? Like,
yeah.
You can go get a 360 right now for $100, but also you're paying Xbox Live fees for 2 years at $20 a month. Like, that's a lot for
well,
Xbox
that's how
Live.
Cell phone companies have been assaulting customers
Wait,
for a decade.
Is it the Xbox Live fee is more if you do it this way?
Yeah, it's not 20. I think that's an exact. I think
it's
literally it's though 15. Yeah.
I did not realize.
So you
that.
Are
it's not
you are paying
than.
For a year's subscription after about 4 months of paying on this thing, but now you're locked in for an additional
so
16 months.
I see. So it's ultimately it's less upfront, but more.
Yeah. It's a bait and switch.
I thought it was you were just you know
no,
agreeing to being.
No,
on
they're not
going to
subsidize the cost unless
that?
They're going to make some more off your dumbass.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So I'll just pay the $500 upfront. But I wonder what'll happen if it was like what happens when these dumb multiple SKUs where one sells out, the better one sells out first, where there's only subsidized ones left and like you are forced to buy.
I mean,
it's
probably not going to be something that will be physically different in the box. Like it could just be like when you get to the counter at Best Buy and are like, hey, you know, I want to pay $500 for this or I want to pay $300 for this and here's all my information to continue billing.
But I mean, it's a smart move on their part because there are a lot of people who are like, I can't afford $500.
There's a lot of
right
people
now.
Who don't understand money.
Yeah. People that buy world. Like the Xbox 360 with no hard drive.
And they're used to paying shitty deals in cell phone things.
Right.
So why not?
They're used to getting bent over.
When they don't even know it.
Yeah. They don't even know it. They get roofied all the time.
Oh, God. I think $500 is like the maximum you could charge for the 720, but I even think that is too much.
$600, so. I don't know. I think, not well, let's see. Sony so got hardcore screwed when that PS3
well,
thing
yeah.
happened.
It was ridiculous.
I don't know.
I don't think anybody's going to pay $600.
I mean, there's the element of inflation, too.
What if they go $550?
Like,
whoa.
Know.
I don't know.
$555.
I agree with Henry. I think $500 is the max.
$500?
Yeah.
$500 is, well, what I'm willing to pay, like, I'm now thinking of November, like, I was planning to get both, but that could be like $1,000
I
spend I
mean,
to have
so
both systems.
You're willing to say you'd pay $500 knowing nothing about the console at this point?
I like having launch systems. That's just a stupid quirk of mine. I like to waste money too on lots of stuff. So that includes launch systems.
That is true.
I am
seen
the opposite.
Henry Gilbert's desk. It's,
I will never buy a console day one.
Really?
Yep.
Never.
Never.
I didn't do it for the PS3, and I did not regret it in the slightest. When I bought that Slim for $300 and played Uncharted 2, like I made the right choice.
I bought my PS3 for $600 at launch. Never used it for probably a year and a half.
Wow.
Oh, God. Why?
I mean, I still don't own a Wii U. I feel bad about myself every day.
Fine.
No, I
don't.
Fine.
I turned mine on for the first time in a long time last night just to buy Super
Metroid.
You
were so hyped for Wii U, and now it's like.
Well, no, honestly, I wasn't. And then, like, when we had the stream night where we brought one in and we were all paying off, I was like, now I can't help myself because I'm. Like Henry, I just can't. I have one game for it.
Oh, God.
Well, finally, in August, they're going to start rolling out the games?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I feel like at this point, the Wii U is just the first party device, and they just need to embrace that.
It's the GameCube again. Well, we can talk about that in the news section. That's not about
so
that. We'll get to that.
Transition into point number two. When will it be available?
November.
So, we're thinking November of this year, December at the latest, because they don't want to fall behind the PS4.
It won't be December.
And
so,
they really got to hit the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa sale.
This idea of falling behind the PS4.
No,
the PS4 has sold more units in the world, or the PS3 has sold more units in this world than the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Having come out
Europe,
a year later.
Yeah.
Europe is just like goo goo gaga. Goo goo gaga for the PS3. Whereas in North America, you know, Microsoft has like the last 27 months or something like that, they've been the number one selling console. But I mean, there's the PS3 coming out a year later did ultimately hurt them.
Yeah.
That said, I feel like the Xbox might come out in the spring of next year.
Really? My God.
Yeah.
What's your reasoning about that?
I don't have a good reason for it.
It's just a gut feeling?
It's just this gut kind of feeling. Like,
your knee hurts when it's about
to rain.
They
needed to announce earlier if they wanted to... I mean, unless they do something like the fucking Sega Saturn, where they're like, and it's out now! You can
go
buy it!
In 2005, they did, in 2005 in May, pre-E3, they did reveal the 360, and it was out that year.
Yeah.
But I think, while it will be out this year, it'll feel like it'll actually launch in spring. I think, like, there have been those rumors, Kotaku reported on it, that they said Microsoft is not where they should be preparedness-wise with their first parties to get games out and launch, and so their response to that is going to be to just pay third parties for more exclusives.
I mean, it's just so weird at this point, because it's like this console generation has been so much longer than any other console generation. How do you not have your fucking ducks in a row at this point?
I know. It's silly.
Well, I think a lot... I mean, I'll be really curious to hear some of the announcements during their thing, but I think that pushing back has potentially something to do with the always-online...
they're like, oh shit, we gotta rip this out.
You mean the number one question on our top 7? Yeah. Will it be always online? I don't know.
Will it be always online?
I don't
straw vote.
I don't think so.
No.
Not at first, but the thing there will be the tech in there to flip a switch to make it always online.
That's devious. I think they'd be crazy to try.
I think at worst, what we're probably looking at is something like Steam, where you have to validate a game.
Yeah, which that's what I think it's going to be. You're going to have to log in every time.
That's, by definition, not always online.
Right. That's just like you have to have an internet connection.
And that could be their anti-used policy of just like, oh, this somebody already registered this. Give us $10.
So do you think it's going to be just the first login for that game, or is every time you boot up that game, it will have to ping the internet?
I think it'll just be the first validation.
I think it'll always be every time.
And this is going to kind of double dip into something in the news section, but I wonder if that is potentially the reason why EA is doing away with online passes, because they're not relevant in that case.
They're getting the good PR right now of being like, all right, we're done with this, knowing full well that Microsoft is going to have their back and accomplish exactly what they were trying to do.
Microsoft has the thing that replaces online passes for everybody.
But if Microsoft is doing it and EA is willing to drop online passes, does that mean the PS4 is going to do it as well?
Maybe. I mean, don't know. I'm trying to remember exactly what that question posed to Kazuhirai was, where he said it'll support used games. I feel like it was very carefully worded, so that it's like, you can play a used game on this, but...
Yeah.
It was very much opening itself up to a but.
Or something you could just return to later. I also wonder if they're going to keep gold. Like, will there be Xbox Live Gold, or will they just be like... No, it's just Xbox Live. Everybody has it. Your memberships, thank you for the money, but
for the memories.
But on the 720, no more of the gold paywall.
At least they're getting rid of Xbox or Microsoft points.
Yeah,
apparently, I thought that was still just a rumor.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That is a good question. I feel like they will take the multiplayer. Like, if you want to play multiplayer, you have to buy gold. I feel like they're going to take that off of gold at some point.
It's such an old way of doing things.
Yeah,
but you get what you pay for, because the online is way better on Xbox than it is on PS3.
Yeah.
And I mean, having that, I mean, that's ultimately why I think most people buy, like, if they have a choice between a PS3 game and a 360 game and they own both consoles, they're probably going to go with the 360 because the online's better for playing games.
Yeah. But this also ties in the free-to-play thing. I think they will have some games be always online. They'll have the rule in there, because I think, like, now the rule on 360, there's no game that's always online to play. Like, that's just part of their user agreement or whatever. But so if you allow some games to be always online to play, then you let in the free-to-play game.
Let them in.
You open the...
open the door.
There goes the neighborhood.
Open the door. Another honorable mention question is, what are the launch games? But we have no way of knowing that.
So that... for that, that studio they have in Vancouver, and Black Tusk or something like that. I am so excited to see what comes out of there, because that's going to be like the first big new IP from Microsoft in the Halo Gears of War vein.
Cameo. It's going to be Cameo elements.
Well, Rare has to have been doing something. They exist. They are a studio that exists.
They're making DLC for the next Forza game.
Well, so there's got to be at least one Microsoft first party game there. This, it won't be like Halo 5. That can't be ready by now.
I want to see whatever Epic Games is doing.
I'm wondering fuck are they doing?
They're working on Fortnite, which I saw at GDC and looks pretty cool.
So many of their high level people left, and like I think something like 48% of the company is owned by this Chinese company now.
Tencent?
Is it Tencent?
Tencent, yeah. That they
Jesus, they own everything.
Yeah,
they buying.
They own half of
China, man. China's just fucking buying all of America.
You're going to be a mole in the
I am.
The mix.
I'm going to bring down Tencent from the inside.
But so, yeah, you see that,
please don't arrest me when I land on China.
We heard this podcast.
Yeah, so I'm going to China next week for a League of Legends thing. And here is a pro tip. If you are going to China, do not apply for a J2 visa, because a J2 visa is for journalists. And
I get it now.
I gave this form to this woman, and she just basically went into red alert mode. It's like, all right, I need this. And I'm like, what? And she looks at me and is like, oh, this is for a journalist visa. I need all of these information. I'm like, no, I am not a journalist. I have never repudiated my claim.
A tap dance.
Yeah, I was like, entertainment. Ha ha. I cover video games.
You did a cartwheel and then
I totally went carnival circus performer on her. Like, I'm a goofy, charming, completely impotent American who just covers video games. I am not a real journalist. Good God, no. I would never write about any kind of human abuse or anything. That's not my beat. I don't want to go to Foxconn. I'm not a tech writer. I write about fucking video games. I am there to cover a video game tournament.
You said, I'm a joke.
Yeah.
Let me through.
And this is basically, I basically dehumanized myself in front of this woman. I've never repudiated my title to actual journalist so fast as in
sometimes.
Front of
sometimes, Tom, to do true journalism, you gotta break the rules.
You gotta just.
I commend your on the fly thinking.
No, and apparently there was I was talking to Lizzie at 47, and there was some joker who basically did the exact same thing I did. But did not have the kind of the fortitude to completely repudiate their profession.
Castrate
themselves, but I don't know.
It's probably someone from
Polygon.
One of the snootier outlets pushing up their glasses. I'm a journalist.
To do true journalism. maybe I will look into your human rights issues.
Maybe I'm going to search for sexism.
I'm going to go look at those fucking gold farmers.
And then I'm going to write an existential piece in first person about my experience.
About how I joined a gold farming cult for a week.
The shop was dark and moody inside as sweat dripped from my brow.
Beating
I just
brow.
I just killed another monster and got my 7 millionth piece of gold, which
it
I
was
going to
be like this
I was
for the next 70.
Promised
hours.
A raise. That raise was half a penny.
also.
Then that's where the paragraph ends, and one sentence paragraph, and then the unthinkable happens.
that's
when
enough.
The bottom fell out.
That's enough ragging on.
It's so easy to write that way.
Yeah. Anyway, that is the top seven. We do a top seven every week.
Yep.
Next week we'll have another one. I don't know what it is. I think I signed it.
Do we
it
not
already.
Know what it is?
You did sign it.
I think Dave is handling it.
It's our British friends.
All right. Top seven mid-bosses who are better than the real bosses.
Give it away. Hey, whoa.
Hey, I pitched that and everyone said it was dumb. And then the second
Cooper's,
who pitched it.
No.
Yeah.
No, what happened was we were like, oh, fuck. We need a top seven. What would possibly work here? No. I mean, this was a pitch. I guess
sure.
It would be.
Cooper did bring it when we were discussing it. Cooper brought up that you might have pitched something like that, and then we're like, yeah,
okay.
Who cares?
All right. Then I feel validated.
Anyway, we're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back with the news and previews, so stick around. Okay. So
are we on a time limit in here?
We are. For whatever reason, ad boomer. I'm going to go check the thing.
Oh, those idiots.
And we're back. So I have a bit of a surprise for you. We have dumped Lucas Sullivan in favor of someone who is superior than Lucas Sullivan.
Rude.
Is that fair?
The superior Lucas Sullivan.
The superior Lucas Sullivan. Hollander Cooper.
Hey.
In the house.
I'm superior in that I'm fatter. Which
I
think in some societies.
It's close.
It means you're well-fed and wealthy.
Exactly. Right. I wish I had a goiter so people could know.
But you literally just flew in from L.A.
Yes.
Like
boy,
15 minutes ago.
Yes.
Are his arms tired.
More my eyes. I have my eyelids.
God damn it. That was a good joke.
No, it wasn't.
That was a really good joke. I laughed.
I mean, you have very low standards.
Well.
Let's talk about some news.
All right.
Shall we talk about some news? So this morning, Nintendo had their Nintendo Direct. They kind of just dropped it on us at the last minute.
Yeah.
Henry Gilbert of Bad Joke fame.
Yes.
You were there. You saw it.
I was watching
it
live. Yeah, well,
I'm going to sleep because this is dumb.
They've had earlier ones. The last one was 6 a.m. The Pokemon X and Y reveal was 3 a.m.
I've woken up for every single one of them. Unintentionally. Every
you
time.
You said you weren't going to do it this time, and then
guess
you
what?
Checked it. Yeah,
guess
you
what?
Did it.
6 a.m. or 7 a.m. I'm just like, well, there's the clock. Shrug. Well,
so Nintendo, before it started, they were like, this is about the summer games. This isn't the E3, the pre-E3 one, guys. So, you know, cool your jets a little. But they did start with a new announcement, which was that they have an agreement for 3 exclusive Sonic games. Starting with the thing nobody didn't expect, which Mario and Sonic at the Sochi Olympics.
Mario and Sonic, I think they're actually located right outside of 4A's studio, people who made Metro.
Yeah. These are quite possibly the worst games ever made.
So
they sell.
Did you watch
really
the trailer?
Well. No.
So in the trailer, they're adding figure skating, like couples figure skating,
yeah.
And they showed Baby Bowser and Daisy. I am so sold on this. I'm just, and then the idea where it's like I could put like Daisy and Waluigi in figure skating.
Yeah, there are moments in those games. In the previous game, in the London Summer Olympics one, they had horse riding in it, and so one of my favorite screens ever was Luigi on a realistic looking horse just riding it around at Olympic level. I was like, this is weird.
And then Sonic riding on a horse, which is an animal slower than he is.
And
significantly.
So they started with that Wii U and 3DS. Well, Wii U you can assume 3DS. Then they announced Sonic the Lost World, which sounds like it's the Sonic game of the year.
That said, the screenshot is really weird. And
we
can't tell what it is.
What is it? What are we looking at?
I don't know.
If you look at the screenshot and the screenshot alone, it looks like a Civ game.
Yeah, it looks like a sphere made of hexes.
Yeah.
Sonic has done worse.
Sonic Civ would be wonderful.
Yeah, wow. I'm sure it's
invading Shadow's territory,
yeah.
Having diplomatic relations.
With.
I will mine for my Chaos Emeralds.
Diplomatic relations with Tails.
I'm sure it's just a...
Is that a sex with Tails joke?
I'm sure it's just
push
average
the tails out of the way and the butthole's right there.
And then there's a third one. Man. And then there's a third...
I'm really tired.
There's a third Sonic one that is yet to be announced. So they started with that, and they have this new partnership with Sega for that. Also, in Japan, they're getting Yakuza 1 and 2 HD on the Wii U, but that's probably not
Seriously?
Coming to here. Yep. Well, that's already been released.
I care
on the
about
PS3.
That, and that that's a big story, but not in the way, because those games are shit.
They're really terrible. And I can
awful.
Say that now because you remember when Amber was here and I said something
along
the lines
of like,
oh, man,
she was heartbroken.
No, she wasn't heartbroken. She was like murderous.
Oh, well.
I was like, she shot me the dirtiest look. Amber had a way of shooting dirty looks.
Yeah.
And
which is why we tried to put her in positions where she couldn't, because otherwise we'd all be dead.
I know. But that was the dirtiest of dirties.
all right. Then the other little things they announced after that were a release date for Wonderful 101. It comes out September 15th.
That date might sound familiar, because it's also the week that Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming out.
Oh.
And who
so,
needs
you know.
GTA 5 when you've got Wonderful 101?
Right.
Then...
Can you...
Mm-hmm.
You're like invading both Henry and my territory.
I was sitting comfortably, and then you kicked me in the shins.
Well, you should be wearing your shin guards that are supposed to be worn by all future employees.
At least there isn't a lamp under the table anymore.
Yeah, there was a lamp under the table.
I don't know why they did that.
I know why there was a lamp under the table.
Because Takeshi is just
we
like...
We did a radar plays for Slender, and the lights were out except for a lamp right next to Sophia and Ryan.
That was scary.
You should watch that video. They freaked the fuck out.
All right, just two more things. Super Luigi Brothers, Super Luigi U.
No brothers
DLC.
About this one.
No brothers. Only Luigi. Well, not only Luigi does the multiplayer, but... June 20th, $20 download, and then in August in America, it's going to be a retail copy as well for $30.
So can I complain about this for a second?
All right.
Wasn't the big push that it was single player and that they
it
were
was single player
they
focused.
Were putting this big focus on the fact that it was single player because you can build super difficult levels around single player that wouldn't work with multiple people.
Yep.
And now they're like, hey, not only are there four players, but we made a new character, the fourth player. An enemy that's made for idiot children that can't take damage.
Yeah, which is sad. And then I also saw people pointing out you still could, like, you couldn't put a woman in there. It couldn't be Daisy or Peach. It just has to be a guy who...
A rabbit.
Never, yeah, a rabbit.
A nabbit.
And then the last bit of news from it was just that they confirmed you'll get more news soon, where they said the pre-E3... Nintendo Direct will have Smash Brothers, 3D Mario, and Mario Kart, which for them to... I guess we knew Smash Brothers was going to be there, but it's nice to hear Nintendo say Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have a weird... They have a deal that they didn't totally spell out in during E3 at over 100 Best Buys in America and Canada. Some of the demos that are at E3 of unreleased games will be at Best Buy. So... Yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
Which is interesting. It's a shame they don't have, you know, some kind of digital platform. They could just let everyone play it from their home if they have a 3DS or a Wii U.
Like, that would work best. But, you know, there are Best Buys around every corner.
I'm guessing that the only difference is they want to have a Nintendo representative next to you to talk about how it's a pre-release build.
They're afraid you'll steal it. If it was even a download, I don't know. In Nintendo,
they're afraid you will steal.
People
a
would
free
hack
thing.
The shit out of it. If they were like, "Here's a demo for Smash Brothers that just has one character walking around a stage." 30 seconds after that hits, you'd have a full character list with everyone downloadable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But also, in Nintendo defense, nobody does. Other people should do E3 demos during E3, just put them on Xbox Live, but that never happens. Like, I feel like the last time that happened was. It was like 2006 or 7 where Microsoft did, it's E3 at home.
Yeah,
it's
I remember
the Lost
that.
Planet demo, guys. Yeah. Ooh,
I thought they did that every year.
No,
that was the one time.
They have E3 at home every year, but every year it's gotten less demos and more trailers.
Oh, okay.
Now E3 at home is all the videos that are on game trailers, they're also on Xbox Live.
Man, can you imagine how much better this industry would be if game developers didn't have to spend so much time on making these fucking demos?
And, like, vertical slice builds to show press.
Because apparently some of the stuff takes, like, a year.
Well, a lot of the time...
About, like, the Thief something or other took, like, a year to build or something?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I know that... Well, I mean, essentially, the only benefit is a lot of times to get a game greenlit, they have to make a vertical slice, which is... If you don't know what that is, it's essentially... You know how a game doesn't get polished until it's about to ship? This is, like, a super polished 12-minute segment that's like, hey, publisher, make the game. This is what it'll look like. That's why Alien Colonial Marines looked so good in the early days and then sucked ass when it came out.
Yep.
That's usually what they show to press anyway. But there are other times where they're just like, well, shit, we have to spend the next 3 months making a 12-minute demo so that press can walk over and shoot something and then complain that the game isn't finished.
Yeah.
It's perfect. At least with Nintendo, they usually just go, here's two stages from this game. Play them.
Yeah.
That they don't have to put much work into it because there's no story to write around.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, let's move on. EA dropping online path. Do you like that pun? That was something held
over. It's
really
not great.
I know, but it was like...
pretty bad.
That was the first news story I've written.
I think the thing about that pun that makes it not impressive is that I read it and I'm like, okay. And then it wasn't until you pointed out that it was a pun that I thought of it as a pun.
I still don't get it.
If you would have put EA Sports...
It's a sports pun.
They dropped the pass.
I'll get sports.
It's like there's a pass. And
ooh, you should have put online in parentheses.
Oh, my God. That requires way too much thought.
No. You dropped the pass.
That's really dumb.
They're not using the online pass anymore.
Jesus Christ.
But
we talked about this a little bit earlier, and it's one of those things that makes me wonder, well, maybe we're just... It's being dropped in favor of, like, some kind of validation process.
So they said no.
Yeah.
I interviewed somebody at EA, and I asked, is this being replaced with anything that serves to reward people that buy a game new or try to push people towards new overused.
No. That's not what we were arguing, though. We were arguing that with the next console, say Microsoft's new console, there will be a component of it that every time a game is loaded up, it'll ping a server to see if this is like a new game or a non-pirated game or whatever, which is kind of what the online pass was trying to accomplish.
Sure, but I mean
anyway.
If that means that that is punishing secondhand people.
It is punishing secondhand.
So he said that as far as he knows, there is nothing being worked on.
As far as he knows.
Yes.
You missed the part where he had his fingers crossed behind his back.
You missed the fact that you were talking about
to
someone Jeff Brown.
I was going to say talking to
EA,
someone at EA.
Senior VP of
he did say, I said, is there anything, is this being replaced with anything that essentially serves the same purpose? Are you dropping online pass to create Founders programs, and he
like,
said no.
No, we are not doing that. Is Microsoft doing that?
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But EA has essentially thrown their hands up and stepped backwards and is like, well, no, we're done.
Yeah, I guess my theory here is that this is just them feeling confident that Microsoft is going to be accomplishing exactly what they were trying to accomplish and then also reaping the PR goodwill of being like, yeah, we listened to you guys, and it's gone.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
In any case, it's gone.
It's
gone. Do you have the news story about the other EA news story?
Which one's that?
About the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that?
Yeah,
we probably should.
EA currently has no Wii U games in development.
So we already got an indication of this when Battlefield 4 was announced and then when Madden 25 was announced or whatever. And apparently, no. None.
So the only counterpoint, because I was reading people freak out about this, and it's worth freaking out about to a point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they have one PS4 game announced.
EA?
Yeah.
Which is the
Battlefield.
That's it. EA has very few games announced at all right now.
They have Dragon Age 3.
Which we haven't heard about since a press release in January.
Right.
Yeah. It's been a while.
The future of Mass Effect, air quotes.
Future of Mass Effect.
Respawn. All of the sports games, which they haven't even mentioned next-gen stuff about.
Respawn's thing is a next-gen game.
Yeah, it's a...
Which may or may not be.
It's just, I mean, at face value, you're thinking of the EA that releases 800 games a year. That's not the EA we're looking at right now.
I mean, that's been EA's trend for the past several years, where they've just been... I feel like in 2009 or 2008, they halved the SKUs that they were making. They brought it from, 60 to 30. And that was just like pulling in platform. Like they weren't making the GBA version of stuff for the PS2 version and all that stuff. So it doesn't. Plus, I mean, EA has just been in like one blow after another.
Yeah, and also just with the fact that like so many next gen games are current and next gen, it feels like there's no reason that. Because the excuse that you're hearing often is like, well, it's not a true next gen platform. It's like, yeah, but Battlefield 4 is still coming out. On the PS3.
You're still making last gen versions of all your games.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, that's a fair point.
It's just it's more a weird situation than a bad one. Like, EA's just in a weird fucking spot.
No, I mean, all third party publishers are in a weird spot because it's like, this stuff to make a quote unquote next gen game is going to be expensive as hell. And it's like, there's not going to be an installed base to really make your money back.
I'm really looking forward to, like, for the next year and a half, every time a new game comes out, that on both, you're going to have to wait until it comes out to find out if it's either if the last gen version is a dumbed down version of the next gen version, or if the next gen version is a gussied up version of the last gen version. Because there's going to be a big difference.
One of those things has to happen.
And developers are never. They're going to say we developed them both for the best of their capabilities, and some games will be good on both. Mm-hmm. But you're going to end up with a lot of mediocre next-gen games and good current. That's going to happen a lot.
We're not going to start getting good games until like 2 years after.
I feel like late 2014 we will, because that's when like games like Thief, which are only like, it's going to wait until developers finally say like, fine, we're done with last-gen. Because I think right now they're just thinking we can build a next-gen version, and because we're using last-gen engines, we can just deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really long time, like longer than what we've seen in the past before they write off the current.
That said, it also means that next gen is going to be a more seamless transition, because if you remember, Microsoft killed all original Xbox support the day the 360 came out.
Yeah.
You didn't get another first, you didn't get almost any more Xbox games.
Madden was like it.
Yeah, this year or this time, you're going to like, The games are all, since the leap isn't to HD or to 3D, it's almost just like, oh, let's just keep making better looking games.
Well, and plus a byproduct of having such a long console generation is that that install base is so huge. Uh-huh. And so it just wouldn't make sense for them to completely cut off support right away.
That's something else EA talked about where they're just like, hey, we're committed to... Committed to the stuff that's already selling millions. Why would we? If anyone wants to look at that pile of money and ignore it, no problem. We're not gonna.
I mean, you look at the installed base of like previous gen. PS2 had huge, like 100 million. I don't know exactly what it is, but you look at like GameCube and Xbox, and those were like 20 to 30 million. Whereas in this gen, it's like everybody's over 80 million at this point.
Yeah, I think the bigger question on this is what it means for Nintendo. Is like. I had made the assumption, probably seemingly wrongly, that...
On Nintendo?
No, the assumption I made was, well, they got the Wii U, and it will be out of date soon, but for Christmas 2012, 2013, maybe even 2014, they'll get all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And now, by 2013, not every developer is going away, but they're like, well, yes, we could make a comparable version to the Wii U, but we don't want to. Activision hasn't announced Ghost yet for Wii U either.
Yeah, but I feel like your article about comparing console sales numbers over the years. I mean, so like I just said, Microsoft killed all original Xbox support when the 360 came out. Xbox 360 was unopposed in the generation for almost a full year, and it still essentially sold the same as the Wii U is right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, unopposed, no last-gen support. It was the only chance you had of getting a next-gen system, and it still only did okay.
Yeah.
Why do people assume that the 720 or Infinity or the PS4 are going to... Oh, 20 million in the first 3 months. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're going to look at... And publishers are going to do the same thing they did with the 3DS and the same thing they're doing with the Wii U, which is the install base isn't there today. It needs... The only way it's going to get there is if we make games for it. Let's wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing. It's the unhealthiest thing for the industry. At least make shitty half games. Capcom did that for the 3DS. They just, release the Mercenaries. Like, it ships some 3DSs.
I think what's actually going to end up happening is we're going to get a lot of awesome indie games that they can digitally distribute through their, you know, the online platforms, and that's what's going to buoy the next gen in addition to first-party.
People forget
games.
That there was a time where the outfit for the Xbox 360 was the only thing that came out for, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
When you were like, fuck, this awful-looking... World War II game, that's the best next-gen game I can get. That game makes Pikmin 3 look like fucking Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah, I just want to see next-gen graphics. I guess I'll buy this.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Anyway, let's move on a little bit. One quick, and we don't even really need to talk about this much, but Twitch Xbox 360 app. That's interesting.
Yes.
Because we now have a clear indication, well, I mean... Clear-ish that Twitch will be to the next Xbox what
Ustream
is to the PS4. Is it Ustream?
Yep.
That sounds wrong to me.
It's not.
I don't know why.
It's right.
Anyway.
Did you think it was Ustream?
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 Ustream.
Ustream.
Oh, God.
Maybe you thought it was Ustream, like Ubisoft.
Maybe I thought it was Ustream. I don't know.
You're watching different kind of streams than I am if you think it's a stream.
Yeah, dog. Anyway, so the Twitch app. So the other interesting, and we actually have our resident, I don't even know if he's a resident esports person, Brian Kim, Guides Editor, writing something about this, because it's kind of interesting to think about.
I heard
this
kind of sucks. The Ustream app.
Oh, well, Brian Kim's
or the Twitch
writing,
app.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's rude. No, I could be wrong, but I think that the... There's no way to search
Ustream
on the Twitch app for the 360.
I feel like this is
the 300 biggest streams, which is kind of
no, totally. I see it as kind of this is our first stumbling effort onto a
this conference. Is us firing the warning shot.
Yeah,
like,
it's to warm up the people for the Twitch on their 720.
The interesting element of this is the kind of thing that could possibly be the the thing that jump starts esports onto TV, because this is going to get esports onto TV. This is everybody's already got their Xbox hooked up to their TV, as we were saying in the office, like, I'm gonna throw on League of Legends on my TV.
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing else.
That's the only thing I do with my Oyo right now.
Yeah. So to have that there, that's kind of just getting me used to the idea, kind of creating a palatableness to having an esports thing on my TV.
Speaking of which, League of Legends, the best esports game for somebody who doesn't know a ton about games, I think.
Yeah.
Because fighting games are too fast.
Uh-huh.
League of Legends is essentially football with monsters. It's like there's two teams. They have to destroy the other person's base. Every character is different. You don't have to know how they're different.
Right.
We're going to use lingo. You'll learn it. You don't have to like the game, but you get it.
There will occasionally just be a pile of just big things throwing themselves at one another.
Just a bunch of shiny lights.
Right. Occasionally a ball will pop out.
And then 10 seconds later, one side is dead.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
This just could be what, you know, a big moment that looks inauspicious, but actually is kind of significant. Anyway, let's move on to previews. So you were just coming from Judges Week. You can't talk about barely nothing.
I can talk about like 2% of the games.
So what you can talk about is Gran Turismo 6.
Yes, I can talk lightly about Gran Turismo 6.
If you want real information on Gran Turismo 6,
is that that car game?
Justin, he will be able to help you.
Yeah, Gran Turismo 6. It's a current gen game. Right. Though they hinted that they're exploring the possibilities, aka it's already finished, of a next-gen version. Ton of cars, ton of tracks. They're going to push DLC.
So
the big focus this time around, it looks like, is getting Gran Turismo players competitive online. The other games have had online. This one's going to take it further. Letting you customize your cars more, which is important to going online. Granted, if there's 1,200 cars, just choose a car somebody else doesn't have, and you'll look pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
Support for tablets and stuff, just in terms of trying to make it a connected experience. They didn't talk about it a ton, but the emphasis is on the emerging popularity of racing games competitively, where in the past, in terms of simulation, it's just been sort of tuning your car and driving in circles. They're trying to play up the competitive aspect, which, I mean, they're sort of late to the party on it, but when they do show up, they usually do it better than anyone else.
Five
had some problems, but until they released that huge content patch, which like basically rewrote.
It kind of feels like this is their ultimate. It feels like this is their ultimate Marvel versus Capcom. They also pointed out they're like everyone's acting surprised. PlayStation 1 had 2 Gran Turismos, PlayStation 2 had 2 Gran Turismos, and guess what? PlayStation 3 is going to have 2 Gran Turismos, and the second one is the quote unquote perfected version of the first one. Mm-hmm. It's essentially what we're getting.
That makes sense.
It also, I mean, if you really think about the way Sony's working right now, they want to throw a ton of sponsorship and money behind Drive Club, which is the PS4 exclusive driving game that they announced at their press conference.
Yeah.
This lets them, next holiday season, release Gran Turismo 5 Plus, or Gran Turismo 6 Plus, right, for the PS4, essentially instead of doing what they did for Gran Turismo 4 Prologue.
Yep.
Well, for 5 Prologue, and then
and
they have 5 Perfect Edition or whatever that came out.
But I mean, they had 5 Prologue, which was essentially a half-finished game they charged $40 for.
Yep.
They could do, instead of doing that, which just burnt people, they could just release essentially an HD version.
I still identify Gran Turismo with like Sony's worst cases of hubris, because even when, like, by 2008. Even people within Sony were like, God, we're screwed. We got to change things around. But meanwhile, the Gran Turismo guy show up at every E3 like, we are still working on Gran Turismo, and it will be great.
It's the Smash Brothers. It's Sony's Smash Brothers, where it's like, if you just fucking released this, all of your company's problems would be over. And they're like, I can't work on it. I'm busy working on Kid Icarus.
Yeah. I'm the director, and they can't make it without me, and go to hell.
And then he grows wings and flies away.
Maybe not in that order either.
Did you guys want GT5? Well, here's Prologue. It's like 100 cars and $30. And maybe you buy the PSP one, which is a joke. Like, it wasn't a joke.
So, I mean, it looks cool. But I saw some other Sony games that look cooler as far as people who don't give a shit about cars like me.
Can you talk about any?
I can talk about Killzone.
Killzone?
Which I wrote a preview of last night. And
is it coherent?
Henry Pierre edited it.
Well, I mean, I was pretty tired.
So the more tired I get, the more interesting my writing gets. So I focused 100% on the fact that you can stab a guy in the balls in the game.
You definitely get punchier.
The more I wrote it, the less I remembered whether or not it actually happened until I found a trailer they gave us that shows it for like a split second. Nice. So if you go to the preview on the site, I made an animated GIF showing that.
We just got the ability to put GIFs into our stories.
Yeah, we're going to expand that technology. Yeah.
We started with a crotch shot, but...
Yeah, we started the way all good things start. Yeah. Honestly, so I think it looks beautiful. It's probably the best-looking Vita game. Guerrilla Games doesn't not make the best-looking blank games.
Oh,
that's sort of what they do.
This Killzone is made by Guerrilla?
It's Guerrilla Cambridge, so it's like I don't know if Guerrilla Cambridge is like DICE Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's cool. DICE Los Angeles. It sounds like they just renamed Danger Close.
Danger Close is making the next Star Wars, and they want to call them DICE.
Well, I mean, that's what they did with a lot of BioWare, like BioWare Mythic or whatever.
Which they've already changed. It's like they already abandoned that for BioWare. But so it looks really good. It plays kind of okay. It feels weird that you can't click the sticks. I never thought that's something I would miss in a shooter, but it feels kind of awkward. And the fact that there aren't two analog sticks or the two shoulder buttons feels kind of weird. It feels like it's missing buttons, but it's not. But it plays well, and the melee is you walk up to somebody and you hit triangle, and then it initiates a touchscreen QuickTime event, which I thought I'd hate.
Yeah.
But they're all related. So if you hit triangle and an arrow is facing to the right, the animation you'll do is like you swipe to the right, and then your character like smacks the guy to the right and stabs him. So it feels kind of like you're actually invested in the game more. Mm-hmm. So I didn't hate it. And one of them is you stab a guy in the balls.
Uh-huh. That's really cool.
I also played The Last of
Us. My greatest fantasy realized.
Out in less than 3 weeks.
Right? Last of Us.
Yes. Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah.
Super bloody. I never played it before, and I always wondered how it plays, and it's very weighty. Okay. It almost feels kind of like Gears of War in that they're like, your character weighs as much as a human should weigh. Every other video game feels floaty when your character is kind of limping around.
Yeah, Nathan Drake can basically fly.
Yeah, so there's points in the game where I was like, I'll walk up and there's two buildings and there's like a 10-foot gap in between them. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll jump it. I've been here before, and like the game doesn't even let you. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You can't do that, and you need to like walk over, find a giant plank of wood, put it down, and cross over. It doesn't take very long, but the way it works is more like, you look at something, you think about how in real life you would try to approach that situation, and then you approach it in that way, and it works.
Okay. That's really cool. Yeah, I don't know. Every time I've seen this game, I've just been like, I'll wait and see how.
I'm excited for
it. Only thing that the shooting is kind of loose in a way that I'm not in love with, especially when you're shooting like at 10 guys at once. There's a point where I got strung upside down in a trap, and I was being attacked by enemies, and I kind of had to wait until they stopped moving to shoot at them.
Isn't this kind of like taking that, this is how you would approach a situation in real life, and just throwing that all willy-nilly out the window? Like,
well,
if you're shooting at 10 guys, those 10 guys are going to kill you.
Well, they're not running, or they're slow stumbling.
They're
going
to kill you. I mean,
I did die once.
Yeah.
So
they're going to kill you. Every time.
Well, no, they were monsters that were limping towards you.
All right.
Do they have gruesome Tomb Raider-style deaths?
No, I only died twice, and neither of them were that. I mean, I got bit, and then the guy started nomming on my arm, and I remember, it's like, man, I only got bit once. I wonder, it looks like that hurts a lot, and then I just like fell down and died.
Then
I shot a propane tank from right next to it.
The thing with the shooting, I thought bullets were going to be more limited in that world too.
They're kind of limited, but you can also like you can craft items, which I didn't expect. I'm just kind of like messing with the controller, and all of a sudden he gets down and starts like crafting shit. Because I'm like, I found scissors and a pipe and some tape, and you just tape scissors to the pipe, and it's like, fuck yeah, that is what I would make.
That's pretty cool.
And then you hit an enemy with it, and it gets stuck in his head.
Well, I'm surprised, like, Tommy, you're not excited for it, because I know, like me, you've read The Road, and you really enjoyed it, and this seems like The Road for games.
I mean, because I have read The Road, that's why I'm not excited.
So I have a prediction about the next trend in gaming.
Okay.
Companions that are not useless.
Oh.
So Killzone,
yeah.
Companion that is not useless. BioShock Infinite, companion that is not useless. Last of Us, three big games
Ellie's
coming in.
Not useless.
She doesn't really do much, but she's a charming companion. Like you're just kind of walking around, and she'll just start like humming a song, or you'll boost her over a gate. It allows for a lot of gameplay possibilities, and it makes something besides your own life. An option. Like you're not the only thing you have to worry about, and it really expands the game and allows for characters to it allows for non-silent protagonists, because it doesn't make sense for characters to mutter all the time unless there's someone with them. I see that as the next big trend.
I mean it opens up a greater spectrum of emotional. Yeah.
And maybe there are other games I saw that also have companions like that. I actually don't remember. I the reason I'll say no that I didn't is I genuinely don't remember if there are any are. Oh. I just know that I thought of this idea yesterday with that, and I think that there had to have been a game other than the two I mentioned that spurred it.
Did they have multiplayer for Last of Us there?
No.
I'm really curious to see what that's going to be.
Less than a month out, and no one is.
I'm guessing it's going to be a game where you hit people in the head with bricks. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Hit people in the head with bricks.
All right. So let's move on.
I just remembered a story that I almost just broke an embargo on, but I'm super excited to tell you guys about it later.
Okay, cool. Oh, cool.
And everyone else out there will be able to hear about that when.
Am I allowed to say?
Well, if you saw things pre E3,
so legitimately, there are over 40 articles going up between now and the first day of E3.
Yeah,
wow.
So
in sometime in there,
have fun with that.
That's fun. Anyway, we're going to move on to our final segment, segment three, in which we will get some reviews and some community. So stick around. And we're back with the review segment. So, Ryan Talgenic, you played a little bit of Metro Last Light.
I did.
Let's hear about it.
I played a little bit of it.
How is it?
I played all of it. It's fantastic.
Is it a 9.0?
It is a 9.0. So it's a
4.5.
Sequel to Metro 2033, which itself was based on a novel of the same name by a Russian author, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce out of respect.
Eastern Europeans seem to like to draw their inspiration from their countrymen's books.
Also, probably from the place in which they live.
Their workplaces. Right.
But the game is a post-apocalyptic shooter. Nuclear war has wiped out most of humanity, and people now live in the metro tunnels of the Moscow's subway station, which is, fun fact, built as a nuclear fallout shelter.
Oh.
So,
in IRL?
There you go. Yeah, wow. It's really a fallout shelter. It's a super, super bleak and depressing game. They do atmosphere and immersion incredibly well, better than pretty much any other shooter I've played, I'd have to say. One of the things that's really cool is you're going to have to wear this gas mask a lot, which you use during in contaminated sections of the metro tunnels or when you go out onto the surface. And one of the things that's really cool is condensation forms on the inside of the visor, and you have to change out these filters every few minutes. And when one is starting to run out, Artyom, the main character, his breathing gets really, really heavy. And the condensation starts to fog up the visor, and you have to, wipe it off.
Mm-hmm. And there are moments where, presumably, you're about to run out of oxygen and just in the nick of time.
Yeah, and you'll find a filter. In the first game, the resources were a lot more scarce than in this one, but I still ran into plenty of situations where I was running low on ammo or filters and all these other kinds of things.
One thing that struck me as ridiculous with this game is when you are climbing up that drain pipe or whatever,
uh-huh.
And it's like, all right, I'm going to push this grate away, and suddenly I'm in a toxic atmosphere.
Yeah.
But, 3 inches below that point, fine, don't need it.
Yeah, it's not like that. The grate was not an airtight seal. Yeah. It was just literally like a cross metal bar that was blocking it.
I found that quite hubris.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is funny. I'd say some of the issues I had with the game... It for the first probably two-thirds, it does storytelling pretty well. Everything's kind of presented in a logical way, and it's easy to follow. But then the end, it gets, really rushed.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're watching a cutscene with characters that you're like, where did those guys come from?
Oh,
and
really?
It gets a little weird at the end.
Did you feel that way about the first game?
Yeah.
I got a...
The first game, I thought, actually did it more so than in this one.
More rushed.
Well, it's because it's kind of like a weird... And I read the novel that the first one was based off of, and it makes way more sense when you read that, but it's hard to convey some of what the author was trying to write about
in the game.
I'd imagine
because the studio is broke as shit. And
yeah.
All right, we're done.
Well, that's kind of an interesting thing to talk about, too, because Ruben, what's his first name? The XTHQ.
Jay
Ruben? No. Yeah.
Justin.
We should edit this out.
Justin Ruben.
This is really bad. Anyways.
Our dog.
One of the co-founders of Naughty Dog who eventually went up to...
Oh, Jason Rubin?
Jason Rubin, that's it.
Ah, I was close.
Jesus Christ.
You said THQ, it was confusing.
Yeah, because he headed up THQ and tried to lead it out of darkness.
Oh, I see.
Anyways, he was talking about how he went to Kiev to visit the 4A guys, and he was talking about their working conditions and how they work in this dungeon-esque basement on card tables, and sometimes the government-supplied heat breaks, and they were without heat and freezing temperatures for a week at a time, and they're, you know, wearing parkas and trying to stay warm, and their computers crash a lot, and you can't bring new ones because you have to bribe customs to get them in. God. And he was like painting this really bleak picture about their working conditions, and
which they put into the game.
Yeah, and it really, I think that really plays a huge role in how they were able to build, you know, that world and make it feel so.
You
so
had to have that many depressed people just in a concentrated.
Well, I think
space.
It's also a testament to their passion for what they did. You know,
no, totally.
It's like because most people kind of take for granted the fact that we work in a nice office where we don't to worry about being really fucking cold all the time, or
sure.
You know,
go buy this game.
Great game
because it is a great game, and you know, the people who made it just were they went through a lot to make it happen.
Yeah.
And despite all of that, they made a great game.
Last point I want to make too is that that Ruben mentioned was he's like, you know, these guys made this, their entire budget for this game is about what most major AAA studios have to spend on cutscenes alone. And he's like, so keep that in mind too when you're playing. And I was just like, wow, it's really impressive what they're able to accomplish,
yeah.
I suppose. But anyways, fantastic atmospheric shooter. Really, really good. Definitely check it out.
Sweet. One other game that came out this week, Lucas Sullivan, you played this. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Great game.
Great
game. It's the port of the Wii Donkey Kong Country Returns, but it's got a new mode which makes the game easier, but not substantially easier.
Because the original was just really obscenely
brutal.
Hard.
It depends on who you ask, but it does have a reputation for being
brutal.
Quite punishing.
Brutal.
Did you go bananas for this game, Lucas?
Why did you do that? I don't even know.
All right, I did it on Facebook too, and people. They loathed it.
They loathed it and then hit the like button.
There was one guy that just like a nice long paragraph about
how dumb you are.
Yeah.
And how you should just go kill yourself.
It probably took you about 7 hours to come up with that. I can't believe the entire conglomerative that is Games Radar put
like
out.
If you like it, share if you hate it with every
iota. It's been one of my favorite comments on Facebook so far.
We can print that out, frame it for you.
The first thing he said though was Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D or whatever the hell it's called, right? Because that's what people do.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, but anyway, so the game looks amazing. It looks great on the Wii, but with the 3D on the 3DS, it looks fracking amazing. You guys are playing footsies right now?
We are, a little bit. It's a little bit of a war going on.
It's
a proxy war going on underneath this table.
To each their own, you know?
Yeah.
And this time around, so you have new mode. Original mode, the Wii's classic mode, is in the game. So if you want it tough, if you like your coffee tough, just keep it in original mode. But new mode gives you more hit points. That is to say, one more hit point. And new items, which make it way easier to pass some of the tougher levels, like a balloon that makes you rise up out of a pit, or something, a potion that like makes it so your minecart can't crash. But
hand-holding,
they are still only single-use items. So if you're having a rough go of it with a certain level, like these are only going to get you so far. It's not like you can just beat a level just because you bought the red item. So you know, there's, if you thought the Wii one was too hard, or you just never played the Wii one, then new mode is probably what you want to go with.
Right. And despite all the difficulty and whatever, it's still a good game. You still like
yes,
it. You still have
I did.
Fun with it. What I was did. Good about it? Just the jumping and the whatnot.
I mean, the
basically that. Yes.
Tom, because the monkeys and the bananas and the what have you.
Is it going to make sense to you? But I personally love the Super Nintendo Donkey Kong Country series, and this game captures that. But also does its own thing with like hidden puzzle pieces,
and it looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous because the 3D, the parallax scrolling is really nice, and the character designs already looked good. Now they pop,
a little polish.
And there's also a co-op mode, which me and Ryan were playing a little bit of.
Shoot.
I don't really recommend it because
Diddy seemed OP.
Yeah, you have without Diddy to help on long jumps and just like stabilizing your trajectory, it's really hard to play as Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. But then the crappy part is the Diddy Kong player is like just an add-on to the Donkey Kong player's save. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so like I was unable to
gain that that same progress in my own game when I was playing with Lucas, which is a bummer.
Yeah, because so I wanted to progress. It's one-sided, too. And that's kind of lame. But it's there if you want to do it. If you have someone that loves Donkey Kong Country as much as you and wants to play through it, then hit up the co-op mode. So yeah, all in all,
8.0,
4 out of 5. Great game.
Go pick it up.
I could see why people would think it's frustrating, but I love it.
Anyway, okay, so that is reviews. We have more reviews on the site. I think we reviewed also Anomaly 2 this week, as well as Star Drive and some other stuff.
I can rattle off those scores for you.
Anomaly 2 was a 9.0.
4.5. That game, I played that game with our reviewer, and it's really fun. So
yeah,
there's
fun.
The first game, Anomaly, made a splash because it was tower defense, but you play as the units that are attacking, so really it's tower offense. This adds a multiplayer mode where you can play as either side, and things get pretty hectic, pretty cool. Strategic.
Cool.
Very fun.
Cool.
Star Drive, 2.5 out of 5. Not
bit of an assy game.
I mean, I think it...
Is that the one with the owl technicians?
Yes.
There's samurai bears and owl technicians
bears.
In space. And as cool as that is...
Was it?
Zombie bears.
I thought I had zombie bears. Really?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's a
Neither
YouTube
does
clip.
Half of our audience.
It's a YouTube clip.
Go look up. I think it's Dirge losing his level 60... Witch Doctor in Diablo 3.
It rolls off the tongue.
It's this guy. It's basically this guy with a funny accent, and he dies with a hardcore character, and he dies in the most pitiful way.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. I think Star Drive was okay. It has really cool alien races, but the gameplay itself is not all that.
So you can find the full review on the website. So we're going to introduce a new segment, hopefully an ongoing segment. And this is a holdover from my old show at a place that I will not mention. Corrections, clarifications, retractions, and apologies. There are times in which we get it wrong.
We freaked up.
Case in point, last week I may have expressly stated that Persia and Saudi Arabia are one in the same
place.
As it would turn out, that's not true. A little bit of a correction here, and as Aqueous Boy points out in the comments, Jesus, guys, I think this is the second time you've referred to Persia as not being a real place. It's called Iran now, but it's a real, and it's not Saudi Arabia, and it's totally legitimate to still call it Persia and the people who live there Persians. So, let that correction stand. Thank you, Aquas Boy. Persia is a place that exists.
Tom, you insensitive.
Alive babe. And well.
Tom's got problems.
A shout-out to all of our Persian friends. If you're Persian, I want to hear from you. Write in. GregH at GamesRadar.com. We will, you know, give each and every one of our Persians out there a shout-out. We're doing it.
How do we verify that they're Persian?
You don't.
It doesn't matter. Who would lie about that? Who would lie about
well,
that?
Well,
we're going to have
who
like
would make claim to being a Persian when they're not a Persian?
7-minute-long shout-out next podcast. Just reading everyone's names.
Hey, if you're not a Persian, don't make claim to being a Persian. Don't do it.
That's just messed up.
It's messed up.
That's almost as messed up as claiming that place doesn't exist.
Almost. So, yes, if you have a correction, clarification, retraction, or apology that you feel like we need to consider, go ahead and email GregH at GamesRadar.com, and we will we'll probably cop to it. But to the rest of the community segment, Greg.
Yes, community segment. Last week's question of the week was, what new Star Wars game would you like created by EA? Either a sequel, or if you came up with your own new Star Wars game, more points to you.
Tom looks really interested.
Distraught right now.
I'm just waiting for you
to finish.
Go. No, to go.
Good lord.
Get on with the show, Greg. Jesus. All
right. Crazy Crud says, I would like a third-person shooter buddy cop game starring Han Solo and Chewbacca. Where this is a long one, so I'm just going to kind of skip through it. But
Kashyyyk.
Chewie would be wearing a full police uniform, and Han is kind of the hotshot cop. My favorite part is at the end. There'd be Admiral Akbar would be there in his office and shout to the heavens, Solo! every time Solo gets on his nerves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that. Chewie being the straight cop, Han Solo being the
loose
rash
cannon,
the devious man.
Right.
And doesn't Akbar always play the by the rules. Chief.
He'll sometimes shoot first. That's a thing I know about Han Solo.
Our good friend Lucas
Shosta.
Shosta.
He told us.
Wait,
he told us how to say
explicitly explain this.
Shosta.
It's Shosta.
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 If I got that wrong, then please leave another comment.
I mean, there's no O in there. So.
Well, he explained why it sounds like an O.
So yeah. Shosta the Jokesta.
Shosta Jokesta says he'd like a prequel of how Yoda became who he is.
Oh. What if he was really tall?
Of how, Yoda as a young man.
How he became
that's what
a general. How did he deal with getting the lightsaber because of who he is, and especially whatever happened to his species and homeworld?
What is the deal?
It's registered as unknown, but that doesn't mean that they can't make a game where we see through Yoda's eyes.
So we don't know anything about Yoda? What do we know about Yoda?
He's green.
Tell me about Yoda.
I only know that there's another member of Yoda's species that sits on the council in the Phantom Menace called Yaddle, right?
Yaddle.
I have no idea what
it's horrifying, like, female version of Yoda.
Oh, come on now.
No, it's gross. It's just
Yoda's
weird.
Yoda's got to get a little, you know.
A little Yaddle?
Yeah, you got to get a little Yaddle occasionally, too. Just because he's 900 years old doesn't mean, you know, Viagra in the future is holy shit,
oh,
you know?
Oh, God.
Just because he's 900, no, I'm not going to do it.
And, the force is strong with him, if you know what I mean.
He likes to fuck.
That's inappropriate.
SSJ for Raditz says DICE is slated to make Star Wars game correct. Take Mirror's Edge and morph it into a game where you play as a Jedi. Imagine using force powers in first person, running around, jumping off walls, lightsaber battling. Basically, I want Jedi Knight, but with parkour.
I dig.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we can't talk about that. Anyways. Well, I'll tell you later.
All right.
Darth Ender X.
That's the worst thing to overhear.
TIE Fighter 2, full stop.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
You're all over that.
What
Chris.
Else? What else?
So there are other. Okay. I had a pitch that got shot down.
Okay.
About space sims and where did they go?
Uh-huh.
And everyone said, nobody wants to know anything about space sims.
Yeah.
Here's another man.
Darth Ender X.
Who would like to know more about space sims.
All right.
I'm
still not green lighting that feature.
I know you're not. I'm just giving you more fuel for the fire. Sunny D, FYI, I'm still a guy.
Did you skip one?
That's the winner.
Oh.
We're going back to that.
Oh.
Sunny D, so still a man.
What? What?
Apparently, like, last week he...
We all called him a woman?
He wrote in and was like, you guys are a bunch of idiots. I'm a guy, not a woman. And so then the joke became, we just called him a woman.
Oh, I see. Well,
like,
okay.
Sweet
well,
D.
So we have a... I guess that's a retraction? No, that's...
Yeah,
that's
a correction.
That's more of an apology. Apologies to Sunny D for insinuating that he may, in fact, be a woman.
Be a woman. All right, so she says, also I want a Risk Star Wars. EA. You got that right? EA previously worked on a Risk game for the console, which was actually really awesome, and I own a bunch
of... Oh, that was the one with the cats
yeah,
and the robots.
Yeah, I own a lot of different variations of Risk, and Star Wars Risk Original Trilogy is the best version of Risk.
Oh,
has all brand new rules, like...
Man, we should play Risk sometime.
I would love that.
Like, it's boring.
I can never find
really
anybody
long.
To play with me.
I've got...
No,
I'm
let's play
man.
Euchre.
I'll play some Euchre.
No!
Greg is violently opposed
to
Euchre.
I am adamant to Euchre. All right. The winner. The winner this week is the one we skipped over. Is Gingy111. And I want to see a massive open world Star Wars. Something Destiny-esque or Skyrim with tons of planets. If they did it well, it would be incredible.
Agreed.
Isn't this the Old Republic?
No.
No. Yes, but no. Not an MMO.
First person, open world, Skyrim thing.
Okay.
I think that would be insanely
That'd
awesome.
Be sweet.
And it spurred a lot of conversation, and a lot of other people said they would give their left butt cheek. Or,
I don't know about my left butt cheek. I'm
Mass
fond
Effect?
Of that. No.
No, because Mass Effect is very, like, think the difference
together.
Between Mass
think,
Effect
I don't
and Skyrim.
Think, I don't think flexibly.
Skyrim is, you can go wherever you want. Mass Effect, there are walls that you can't jump over.
No? Suddenly, Tom finds his own shoe more interesting.
All right. Well, then I'm going to kick the next question of the week over to Tom.
Uh-huh.
What would you like the question of the week to be?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Nothing?
You've been so
You ain't
bored.
Laughing now, are you, Thomas?
Do you not have anything written down?
No.
All right, let's think about this for a second. So, what do we have this week?
I need to engage Tom.
We have Xbox Talk, yep. Nintendo Direct.
All right, so, Tom, next week, the Xbox is going to be announced. We know that for a fact. What do you predict that we didn't predict? What are they going to announce? What is your predictions that you know nobody saw coming? Tell me what nobody saw coming, and then we'll be able to check it against what is actually you know.
I guess that person should be the winner.
Yeah, they win the lottery, as it were.
Good call.
Could be multiple winners.
Could be. We got a lot of shit lying around the office.
Also, we got some awesome fan art from
Andrewski.
He was watching.
That was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
He was watching the live stream, and during the live stream, whipped up some fan art of Lucas and I.
We got multiple pieces of fan
baller.
Art.
Yeah.
We got to put it all in the post.
We're waiting for more fan art. Don't just, you know, Great American Fan Art Challenge. Which we have to talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, before we get there, your answer. Oh. What has nobody seen coming?
For Nintendo?
No.
Who the hell are you? Get out of this room.
Where did that even
what
come from?
What was the question? Did I really miss it that entirely?
Okay, Tom Magrino.
Sorry, my shoe was interesting.
This is tough because we just collabed on.
We just said everything. All right.
Crazy predictions. Off-the-wall predictions.
All right.
About what?
Oh, my fucking Christ.
Xbox stuff about it that we didn't predict.
Off-the-wall predictions. And the next
so okay. my prediction is that the original Xbox will have that CPU in the 720 as well.
What?
So any... No, that's not my prediction. My prediction is... Microsoft is just going to do away with this idea of there's a difference between a PC game and a console game. And they're going to say, you know what? If you got that game on your console, stick it in your PC and it'll run on Windows 8. Yeah. And also, if you buy a game for Windows 8, stick it in your 720 and it'll run on the console.
My God.
That would be weird.
I'm going to guess that it will include a minimum of 100 gigabytes of storage.
What?
That's a pretty easy guess.
Pretty safe.
You just played Price is Right and guessed a dollar.
Is that not a lot? Because I thought my...
100 gigs?
My Slim had 250 gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they first had the 360 come out...
When the 360 first came out, like 4 gigabytes was $1 billion.
Now you can get it on an SD card for like a dollar.
You know what? Stuff you.
I'll guess Windows 8 will be the operating system on the
It already
console.
Is.
Shit. Is that already a thing?
Yes.
Oh, it might be. I mean, we don't know anything about this.
It is a variation of the Windows 8 operating system.
Where did you hear? We don't know anything about the... You just pulled that out of your ass. Definitively, they haven't announced anything.
This is the real thing.
It's not a real thing.
They announced the specs.
There's literally zero
Look
real
thing. Look it
things.
Up. Look it up.
Use your journalism head, Tom.
God.
Well, shoots. I guess my predict. I don't know.
No, I mean that's your prediction.
I guess
he just lied
so
to you.
He wins. Question of the week.
All right, what prize do I get, assholes?
Monster Hunter figure. Oh. I have a lot of those things.
All right, what's your prediction, Gregorio?
My prediction is that the Kinect will be built into the console itself.
Come on.
It already is.
Oh, God. We're saying things that already existed. It's going to come with 4 controllers.
That's something that's already predicted.
What?
I'm saying something. We expect that to happen.
It's going to be a terabyte of hard drive space.
Oh, there we go. We don't expect that to happen.
A terabyte.
You're getting silly now.
All right. All right. So we got some fan art, Great American Fan Art Challenge.
Yeah.
We will post that in the post.
We need to come up with a new one for the week.
Oh.
Is it a weekly thing or a bi-weekly?
It's a weekly thing.
Okay.
Great American Fan Art.
So...
That's
the Great
intro
American
song.
Fan Art Challenge is us on stage at the Microsoft announcement, demoing a new game for adults.
Oh my.
Now, a question about the Great American Fan Art Challenge. Yeah. Does it need to contain a Great American challenge?
No, because
doesn't.
The last one was the kart racer.
Props to, it was Cody Stovall that drew the hand-drawn one, right?
Yes, we had two of them.
And Wade Smith, who made a wonderful Photoshop.
Yes, that Photoshop was
of pod racing. It was fantastic. I do have to give thanks to Cody Stovall for, despite having not seen what transpired in this room that day, perfectly capturing exactly what happened.
He
in
really
this room.
Did.
Because not only did he place the hairs on my stomach correctly, but he also got the proportions right. And the angles and the way in which
the
I was
curves.
Grabbing it was a spot on.
So. It was as if he had a secret camera in this room.
Yeah. It was uncanny.
It was
I
weird.
Was like, holy shit, I showed it to my girlfriend. She's like, Jesus Christ, that's what you do every day. And I was like, I know. He didn't even know. You know? So weird.
All right, so say what it is one more time.
So us on the Microsoft stage demoing a new game for the Xbox Infinity or whatever it is. It's adult themed.
And an adult
is it
theme
motion
game?
Controlled?
I don't know.
It can be if you want it to be.
Hope.
So, right. Great American Fan Art Challenge.
Number three.
Number three. Part three.
Close us out, Tom.
What else we got? Is that does it for community?
That's about it for community. All right. Always check in on live streams on Wednesday. Give away a lot of awesome stuff.
Be sure to watch Radar Plays that we post every week. Yeah. Multiples.
Yep. Monday, Retro. Tuesday,
nope.
Nothing. Shuffle. Wednesday, Thursday,
nothing.
Friday, Freaky.
Well, I mean, new releases.
New releases.
And new releases whenever they come out.
When they happen.
Sprinkle out.
What else? Do we have anything else? I think that might be all the things.
Twitter, email.
Facebook.
Follow us.
All that garbage.
Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Email. GR Radio Radar. Greg is actively posting things that happen around the office, so if you want to be.
Oh, here's a good one.
If you want your Voyeur hat on. Put that GR Radio Radar in your.
Here's a good
Twitter
one. If you
thing.
If you post the first person to post, I listen to Radio Radar in the comments of any article on Facebook. Well, make it the most recent one so I can see you.
Oh,
I will send you something cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So there you go.
Free stuff.
Post on Facebook.
Some random shit with.
I listen to Radio
office.
Radar.
All right. So that is a thing. And like us on whatever. Okay, you get the idea. That does it for this week, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me in this building. Building? Let's get some food because I'm hungry.
Can we leave?
Radio Radar out!
Interesting one. Which is simply a better game?
What is it? What's simply a better game?
What?
Tell me. Tell me now.
Man. I got some really bad options here.
Mm. My heart bleeds for you, Tom.
This must be the worst draw I've ever had.
All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with Katamari Damacy. The reason why I'm going with Katamari Damacy is because the other cards in my hand are Wii Sports and Words with Friends. So this is my best worst option.
I can already tell you it chose wrong.
Really? You think so? There's a game better than Katamari Damacy?
No.
Yeah, I'm don't think kidding. So the reason why Katamari Damacy is the best game of all time is it is a game that exists for all time because it's got the King of All Cosmos in it, right?
King of
so
Kings.
The King of... No. The King of All Cosmos is a man who transcends space and time, and therefore, the game that he's in ultimately de facto wins.
Meow. No. Thumbs down, Tom Magrino.
That's the Shy Guy spin-up from Mario Kart 7. Meow. Meow.
I went with Mortal Kombat because this is a very technical game. You have to... You have to know your opponents and know what every person can do, just like in League of Legends. And you have to learn the movesets of each character and develop a good a sense of awareness. Try and understand what the opponent's trying
of
to
course.
Do to you. He's going to box you in.
Yeah.
And you got to put some pressure on him while still learning to, fake him out by letting him think he's got the power.
Absolutely.
And then you counterattack. So it's a very technical game. You really have to understand the nuts and bolts for it to be good, and that's why it's just a simply better game.
I said King's Quest because it was the best card in my hand, but it's also pretty bad. I didn't play these games back then.
You're not selling me on this, Henry.
I just didn't. I give up.
Wow. And in short, meh.
I went with Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, even though I haven't played it because everyone says
what?
It's the best Uncharted in the
Wait,
series.
Wait, what?
I went with that movie that you push a couple buttons in.
Nathan Drake, you ever heard of him? It's called Nathan Drake. He's a treasure hunter. Uh-huh. And he goes around with this girl, Eliza, and they have a very real connection.
Eliza?
What? No, that's not her name?
No.
In what was it again? I don't remember.
Well, duh. Uh-oh. Obviously.
Why am I blanking on her?
Elena.
Okay. All right.
See, if you had
asked, I was letting you guys drown. I was like, this is too sad.
If you had asked me what's the name of Nathan Drake's girlfriend, I would have said it. But because you said Eliza, like that was the only name coming in my head.
So clearly, this is your fault.